Praise God. Once again, thank you, Sriya. Greetings to all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a lot of good things happen to us as far as the children of God is concerned. But world continue to fall into greater and deeper problems, not only our country but world over. Of course, Sri Lanka also falling into greater problems, particularly in the process of governing this country. But let's pray and leave it to the hand of God. But I want to tell you this evening that as you have gathered here, there are some important truths that we are revealing through this ministry. We are not just here like another fellowship or another Christian organization to have some singing and teaching and then wind up. But here we are here to present the truth of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we know the truth shall set us free, and if the truth has set us free, then we have the freedom in. You remember last time I explained to you regarding when we concluded about the death, the second death. I want to encourage all of you tonight. There are two things are possible in the life of a genuine true Christian, particularly bride of Christ. That's what Jesus promised. He said that he will raise him in the last day. There's absolute resurrection is there for us. We will not face the second death. You remember the message, he said he will kill her and her children with death. So if we are the bride of Christ, we will not face the second death. But if God willing, that we should wait till he comes, so that we should be raptured, that we will not go through death. We will go through a process of changing our physical body. This body will change, and this body will put on immortal body, glorified body. And I think we are not far away. We are not very far away from this event. It is not 10 years far away. Maybe not even 5 years far away. It may be shorter than what you and I think. And if you look at the world around, and I think I think in the month of June, just not far away, 4th of June, we just commemorated the great Six-Day War of the nation of Israel, where they captured the whole of Jerusalem to their custody. There are two things important to the Jewish community. Not two, three things. The land, the city, and the temple. These three things are the most important. The land was lost to Jewish people. When the Jews were scattered all over the world because their disobedience to God, and they were spread right across, and the land was trodden by the heathenic nations, and for centuries from the time of Christ the land was ruled and desolated by the heathenic people until in the year 1948, where the land was given back to Jewish people. And so the land was given and the nation of Israel was born in the year 1948. And then we find, though land was restored, there were parts of the land was still under the domination of heathenic people and heathenic nations. And it is in the 1967, in the Six-Day War, that war was fought by God himself with the nation of Israel. There were so many miracles. It is not the Jewish people who fought. It is God who fought with God, Jewish soldiers among the other nations. The victory was given in 6 days. The whole of the armies of the six nations, of the Arabic nations, were conquered. The entire land was taken back including the full Jerusalem. So the land was obtained in the 1948. The city was obtained in 1967. And they remit one thing, the temple. Site of the temple is still not belong to the Jewish people. And it is not far away. If you really want to know more about Jewish people, there are plenty of information that is available. Our brother gave me just now some important article which I will read. What I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you look at the world, there are things that are getting hot up. And you and I may not know, realize God making things to happen in the right time. At the time where I speak right now, there are military training taking place in the northern part of Israel, where they are training for training on the process of how to attack Israel, Syria. On the other side, even Syria is also training and preparing how to attack Israel. So we are not far away. But all these things that will begin to take place, in the Middle East there are going to be miracle war. That's what the Bible says. I will explain to you subsequent time. There is going to be a miracle war, like the 6-day war, and where they will capture even the temple and everything else. And all these Arab nations will be frightened never to touch a nation of Israel. It will be like another war, like 6-day war. Not like the war that we saw during the Lebanon crisis. There are going to be miracle war, which is very profoundly prophesied in the scriptures. And that war is also not far away. In the midst of all these things that are taking place, and I want to tell you that we have this wonderful opportunity here. And as we discuss here and as we study the word, and I think there's a purpose that God is bringing us to this truth. The purpose is that the bride will know everything, not everybody else. And that's why by now, in the very first few chapters of Book of Revelation, as we have gone through the church ages, and I think you, when you read next time, you know what it is. Probably those things was alien to you earlier, strange to you, but I think it's no more. And by the time we finish, we will start on the seven seals. I want to assure you, this Book of Revelation would be like a nice picture to you, that you would know everything. And once you know everything, and then your lives will begin to change, like the experience of the caterpillar, whose life would be changed, that you are ready, where your life will match the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask God to bless tonight His Word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we wait upon Your holy presence, open our understanding, Father. We pray in Jesus' name that You minister unto us. Reveal Thy truth, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, it is Thy truth that will set us free. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think we stopped somewhere in the church ages. Okay. We'll go back to a few scriptures which we have to complete in the fourth church age. In the fourth church age, few things which we need to complete, and we complete that and then proceed to understand the... Okay, this is where we stopped. You remember the scripture here that... what He told, the message in the Book of Revelation 20:12, we are still in the fourth church age, not the fifth. And we heard about this church age, as I told you, it is a long, lasted almost 1,000 years, and which period? It is called the Dark Ages. And you remember the scripture concluded, it is saying that God will kill the first church and all of her children with the second death, the spiritual death. And I think it is important here, as we say here, in 2012, and I saw dead, the small and great stand before God, and the books were open, another book were open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The Lamb's book of life, that's where the names of the bride and all the true and children are written. Now we also remember here, we discussed this aspect. Their works were religious sometimes. This is the time which we talk about the fourth church age. There are a lot of religious work that take place in the fourth church. They are only form of godliness. They have form of godliness, most of these false churches. But they are absolutely contrary to the revealed word for their age. Sometimes you see they call the good evil and evil good. They refuse to accept the word for their age. They profess that they know God, but their work they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work appropriate. That is what Titus says in 1 Titus, Titus 1, chapter 1, 16. The false church always think that they are righteous, like in they think their offering is sufficient, only to find it is rejected by God because it is contrary to the word of God. You remember, Cain also offered a sacrifice, but God rejected. That's the same way that the sacrifices, even today, in a Sunday, morning and evening, these churches meet and offer the sacrifices, but to see that at the end of the day, that God rejects that. Lord does not ask us to be religious, but He does ask us to be spiritual, giving His word, not the church, keep preeminence in His life, in our lives. The word has to take the preeminence, the rightful place in our lives. And it is a word that will really change our lives and our lifestyles. If you haven't already gone, done so many, now it's time to stop and consider. This word comes to us. Choose ye this day. A choice is before all of us. What the choice to do? Decide on the right and the wrong. Between the decide the right and the wrong. And if you haven't already done so many, maybe now is time to stop and consider whether or not your attitude, motives, objectives, and life according or the contrary to the word of God. In the Bible, we have been instructed by the Lord, always examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self? Know how that Jesus Christ in you, except ye be reprobates. If Jesus Christ in you, then you will endeavor to live by His word. That's the most important thing in the life of genuine Christians. Because you remember, Jesus was word made flesh. You know, He was word made flesh. And now, we are the bride. And He has given us the word. And we are in the flesh. The bride is in the flesh. He was the word that was made flesh. And the bride of Lord Jesus Christ, or the children, we are in the flesh. And the word is given to us so, we who are in the flesh has been converted fully into the word. The final message to Thyatira. But unto you I say, in Revelations 2:24-28, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which ye have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. Now he is speaking to the true and genuine church. He that overcometh, I will keep my works unto the end. To him will I give the power over the nations. And he shall rule them with the rod of iron. Now this is the message to the genuine true church at that fourth age. He says he will give the power over the nations. And I shall rule them with the rod of iron. And as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him a morning star. Not forgetting his own who labor under the strain and the forces of unbelief, our Lord graciously acknowledged those in Thyatira who have not defiled their testimony with doctrines of that woman Jezebel. You know who Jezebel is, we explained to you. rather than experiencing depths of Satan by compromising on the true word, they experience the depths of God by staying true to the measure of the word revelation to them in their age. Here our Lord promises that He would not put upon them none of other burdens. The pressure of dark ages was either broken or bow or die. You know, I explained to you the difficulties the saints went through the dark ages. It was Inquisition, the power of the empire backing up Satanic worship, be organized, pay with your life. Each age had its pressure. The great burden of the last age is the pressure of riches. You remember, each age has so much of pressure on the genuine true Christians. In our age, in our time, in this age, the great burden of this age is the pressure of riches, soft living, nervous tensions. In a complex age, we seem to be unfitted to live in. The Lord encouraged them to hold fast till I come and points them to a reward reserved for the overcomer. He identified the overcomer as he that keep my works unto the end. They that keep his works are they that do things which please unto God, not to the church. To more fully understand the reward and the power of the nation, we must understand the promise reward to overcomer in the seven churches in the Laodicea. The promise in our age, in the Laodicean age, in the age we live, to him that overcometh, he says, I will give to sit in my throne, even as I have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. The throne represents the position of power and authority. To sit with him, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his throne is to share his power and authority. You know, the promise is, the Lord said that me, you and I, who are his bride, is going to sit with him in his throne. We are going to sit with him in his throne. That means we would also have that power and authority that he possesses, because we are going to sit with power. All judgment was committed unto the Son, and the Son in turn declared through Paul that the saints shall judge the earth. You know, that saints shall judge the earth. The elect bride will sit with him in that position of eternity. If you and I are qualified to be the bride of Christ, you that authority, we will sit with him in his throne, and we will judge, we will rule the nations. With more words of encouragement, and overcomers are promised the morning star. Of course, the morning star is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto you myself, where I am, ye may be also. To receive a morning star is to be gathered with him in the resurrection and rapturing glory into eternity. So you find, when we come to this dark age, why it is called dark? It is absolutely little light is there. The entire 90% is gone. 90% is a total dark. The gospel light, the truth, is already a small element in the whole of the period. And that's why we have 1,000 years of dark ages, where the false Babylonian Jezebel church rule and reigned and got masters to follow them, and the Bibles were totally thrown out. There is no truth that was there. And if there was any genuine child of God or a group of people, they were underground Christians. They absolutely had no way to surface and proclaim their beliefs. Unlike today, you and I have the freedom to come here and stand before here and praise the Lord. Even this is a Buddhist country. You and I have that freedom. But at that dark age, under the own Christian so-called church, false church, true churches were totally banished. Totally, they have to go underground and worship in secrecy. Read the Bible also in secrecy. This was the condition. I want to explain something. The condition of the bride of each age. This scripture, which you find in the book of Proverbs 25-28, gives the condition of the bride in each age. When you look at the Bible, this is a beautiful book. because this is the revelation of God. This word has all around revelations right across, connecting. So don't miss anything. Sometimes you ignore the books, you will lose the message. Here is a revelation. Proverbs write about the bride of Christ in a symbolic form. What does it say? Ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now he identifies four different insignificant creatures. They are insignificant, unnoticeable. Nobody knows them. Nobody recognizes them. And he represents this group called ants, small ants, a people not strong. Yes, if you look at them, they are not strong. They are not organized. They don't have a name. But one thing they do, say, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. That's the quality of the bride of Christ. That's the quality of the true children of God. In each age, they were like this. Ants, who are not strong, but they knew the time they live in. They knew the message of that time. And they knew how to prepare for it. They were exactly knew the time. They knew their meat. Prepare their meat in the summer. They were not strong. So even the world today, now you would find small groups like this. Even in this country, I must tell you, there are about at least 10 such groups. Insignificant, meeting in houses. Once I had opportunity to go even into uncleared areas. In Kilinochi, I went inside 2 miles into LTD control areas. To a church, small group church, in a home. There are groups of people meeting there. I think even nobody has gone. Even the Tamils that pass village, you know, don't go that area. But by God's grace, I had the opportunity to go inside and spend 3 hours with those group of people, sharing the truth, and they worship God. And we have such groups of people even in this country. They are not organized. They are very insignificant. Highly unnoticeable. You don't know them. You can't see them because they have a name board. They don't come up and fight as a group. They don't have organized people. But they are strong in God. And they know about their meat. And they prepare their meat for the time. Times they know. The meat they know, very specifically. Then the second group of people, it is called the conies, are but feeble folk. They are feeble. They are not also strong. But yet they make their houses in the rocks. They make their houses in the rocks. So the true church, always their houses in the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. They are not in an organized group of people or a cathedral or an organization. They make their houses in the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I will make my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And he says, upon this revelation, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's the revelation. That is, I said about the morning star and the white stone. So he said, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. So, you find in each age, there's a group of people whom God have chosen. Their houses are not in these big places or like so-called organized religion, which they have big cathedral, organized buildings, you know, which can accommodate thousands, 5,000, 10,000. No. They are inside small groups of people. But they are strong in the Word, in the Lord.
with rock.
Now remember next one, the next group of people also. A locust have no king, yet they go forth all of them in bands. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth in bands. The bride of Christ, the Lord is the one who leads them. They have no king. They have no pope. They have no bishop of bishops. They have no general superintendent. They have no chief deacon. But they have the Lord of Lords guiding them. You remember the children of Israel, when they demanded a king from Samuel, and God told Samuel, you know, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. I was their king, but they want a king like man, other nations. So was even the organized churches. They have a super personality, a person with absolute power, a vicar of God, in place of the Son of God. God hates that. If any man takes the place of the Lord in any form, that's why he says he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, conquer the laity, take the domination, dominate the people, all forms of ways. God hates that. And that's why he says, even these locusts, they have no king, but yet they go forth by bands. That's the quality of Christ. That's the quality of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know in this country and in the world over, there are small insignificant groups. They don't have a leader, leader of leaders, or a great pastor, or a senior pastor, or the great apostle. No. But yet, they are led by the Spirit of God. If they are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the Bible says. Then look at the fourth person. The spider take hold of. With hands, he is in the king's palace. Who? The spider. Definitely he is in the king's palace. Spider taketh hold of with, hold with, and he is in the king's palaces. This is a group that would be in the place what I mentioned to you a few minutes ago. It is the bride that who will sit on that throne with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the bride that who will rule the nations. It is the bride who will have the authority that is given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Like he gave the authority at that time, same way the bride would have the authority. It is like the spider who would hold and is in the king's palace. He has the right to be there. But if you look at all this in the Proverbs, the writer in the Proverbs predicted long before the church was established the quality and the absolute character of the genuine true church and the bride of Christ. Isn't it so good to see? That's what I say, don't ignore the scriptures. It may be Genesis, it may be Leviticus, it may be Song of Solomon, it may be any of the books. There's a message in each book because it's connected. It's connected to all the books. So you need to have revelation to understand this. Today, we are coming to the fifth church age. We are going to the parable of the fifth parable. The fifth parable is, it says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath, buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven refers to the Lord's kingdom right here on earth. Now we have understood almost
four parables, which is a mirror image of the seven church ages or the book of Revelation. Let's understand this parable. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, of which a man, when he has found, he hideth it. When he found it, he hideth it for some time. Why? What did he hide it for? For the joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he had by that field. Now this is a very, very important time. It says, the message is, kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure which was hid. And a man come across it. And when he finds, he hide it. But then he goes and sell all what he has and buys that field. This is also an absolute historical event that took place when the dark ages were about to come close to. What happened was, I will explain to you this aspect after we discuss this also. In the church age or the book of Revelation, chapter 3 verse 1 to 2. And the angel, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things, saith he that hath seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast name that thou livest and art dead. Thou hast a name that livest that thou art dead. God tells the church in Sardis. Says, you have a name, but you think you are dead. But be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy work perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou wast received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore thou shalt not watch. I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know that hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in the Sardis, which have not defiled the garment. They shall walk with me in white, and they are worthy. And that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name. Remember here, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father, the new name, and his angels. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. The time period of this age is the Sardis, the fifth church age, lasted from 1520 to 1750 AD. Total period of 230 years. In this church history, this period of time is usually referred as Reformation. But more than Reformation, it is the beginning of restoration. The restoration of the truth of the world, which was taken away from the people during the dark age. You remember, during these dark ages, a significant truth, which is the bedrock of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ given to his children, were lost. If you remember, the most significant things that woman in the fourth church age, what did he do? He took the four breads and in leavened them. Insert the four things and it leavened up. And I explained to you, one of the important things that was lost to us, justification. And just shall live by faith, it says. Justification in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ is sacrifice. Justification was needed because all have sinned and come short of God's glory. We need to be justified. There's a group of people who was chosen in Adam need to be justified because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. They are justified. And justification was lost. It is no more faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is faith in the Holy Roman Catholic Church instead of. So they were lost to the Lord. And here is now the Lord is beginning to restore back one by one the things that were lost to the church. So it is this period is the fifth church age, beginning of the fifth church age, is the beginning of God's restoration of the things that were lost in the dark ages. It was during the early stages of this age that Christopher Columbus discovered the New World, America. It is during this church age the New World was formed. With the discovery, many in Europe were able to find freedom away from the oppression and bondage of Roman Church. It is during this church age that there was freedom in some nations, in some countries in Europe. Because not only the Roman Church, it is during this church, this age, there was a big inflicting of the wound that took place, as explained in the book of Revelation. Not only the Roman Church wounded by Martin Luther's Reformation, but about 300 years later, in 1808 AD, Napoleon Bonaparte dethroned the Pope, deepening the wound in the head of the beast. You know what happened? I will explain to you further. Martin Luther was a Jesuit priest in the Roman Catholic Church. And I will explain to you as we go through. And as he is a genuine, true person who was seeking things of God, one day God revealed. And then what did he do? He came out of this Catholic Church. When God revealed to him the truth, he sold everything he had, what he gained from the Catholic Church, and he bought what God has given. That in a sense, we will go through that in detail. Let's go back to this scripture. In the Revelation 13:1-3, it says, "And I stood upon the sand of sea." In the book of Revelation, every time you see sea, it reflects the people of the world. Sand of the sea represents the people in the world. And so the beast rise from the sea, from the people. The breeze comes from the people, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head a name, blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power. It mentioned about 3 animals here. So here is, I saw the beast was like unto a leopard, and his feet were feet of a bear, and his mouth was mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power. There are 4 beasts mentioned here: the leopard, the bear, a lion, and a dragon. And his seat, great authority. And I saw his head as it was wounded to a death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after them. This beast was wounded at a particular time in the history of in the last 2000 years. And it is during this period, this beast, which is represented by the false church, was wounded. It was a wound came by none other than the famous Martin Luther, who came out of the Roman Church and nailed those 95 theses onto the book, onto the doors of the church, and that herald the Reformation. So the parable refers to Martin Luther, who was none other than a Roman Catholic priest, a monk. He was the man that refers in the parable. When he found the great treasure, what did he do? When God revealed to him the truth of the word of God, what did he do? He had been a Roman Catholic monk or a priest. When God revealed to him the truth, He identified all the false things that he was holding on to. He went and nailed it to the Roman church in the Wittenberg in Germany and said, "You take it," and he came out. And that herald, the beginning of the Reformation. And that is the beginning of Reformation with a very specific message that God gave to Martin Luther. We will understand that. And that is the beginning of God's restoration of the things that were lost to the church. Through Martin, here God comes to restore back. So the parable refers to a man who found the treasure. He is none other than the Martin Luther. Martin Luther, who was a Roman Catholic monk, who was genuinely a follower of the true things of, he desired to be a true Christian, though he joined the seminaries and became a priest. But finally, when God touched him, revealed the truth to him, he was willing to take a step. He was willing to take a step. What was the step? He was willing to leave the church. His own church, which he was the priest, he went to that place. I will show some things. And he took a nail and hammered all those 95 things which he was practicing, which were the things that was given from the Roman church. But today, how many people are willing to take that step? I know some of the people who are going to this evangelical various Pentecostal churches, when the truth is shown to them and ask them to come out, they don't come out. They are still going along with those false teachings, false churches. But Martin Luther, who had the benefits of the entire Roman Catholic Church, the entire facilities of that, he was willing to take a step and come out of it. Remember, the Bible says, come out. Come out of my people. Even today, not many people have the courage of their conviction. They don't have the courage of their conviction to come out from the false system, come out from the false religion, come out from the false ways to the truth of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Martin Luther did that. When he found the treasure, it lost stock and barrel. He did not keep one foot there, one foot here. But I know some people, they want to have it there, this and all. You will not be able to do that. It's not middle part as far as God is concerned. There's no middle part. Either you have the truth or you don't have it. Martin knew when God revealed to him, he had to make a choice. He had to make a decision. And that choice will cost him many things. What it will cost him? He's cost his position in the church. All the benefits that would come to him. I remember in the 1982, when God brought me to this truth, and I shared this experience with some people, and there were some people who were close to me, I shared that. And I know I shared with Sriyan, and it took time, and Sriyan came to this message. And this message was given to a pastor in Tangor. And I went and shared with him. He was very close to me. And he, when God spoke to him very clearly, and when God spoke to him that evening when he went to sleep, God spoke to him. And the following morning he said, "Brother, I want to get baptized. I want to come for it." And following morning he baptized the pastor and the whole church, except his wife, who was really conscious of what will happen. You know, we will have to leave this church. Our salaries will not be paid. Who is going to pay my salary? He is going to be able to leave this house. We have to leave this church. And that kind of thing troubling his wife. But yet this man did that. But yet the pressure of all these things came. The church said, if you are holding on to these new things, you have to vacate the house. You have to vacate the church. What did he say? Do. He threw away this truth. And he threw away the truth. He went back and he got rebaptized in the titles. And he threw away the truth. And I have not much respect for that kind of people. Because why? When God speak to that man, that night he gave a dream and I said to take the decision. And following morning he took the decision. And the 2 days later he overthrew that decision and got into some other thing. Because, for the very reason, because he was to lose his house. The quarters that is given by the church. The salary that he has been paid by that. He did not have faith in the Lord. What did he have? He had faith in the church, not in the Lord. What does the Roman Catholic Church say? Faith in the Roman Catholic Church. So all these denominational church, they may call themselves Pentecostals, they may call themselves evangelicals, they may call them all kinds of evil, but yet what they present is faith in the church, faith in the church. And that's what happened to this pastor, and thereafter I never heard of him, but I know he is lost forever as far as the bride of Christ is concerned. He's lost. And he's gone. Probably he's still in some sort of a ministry, evangelical ministry. But as far as the truth is concerned, he's gone. There's a price to pay for the decisions that you and I have to make. It doesn't come easily. But you have to make a decision. You don't have to make a decision for me. And I told you over again, you're not helping me coming over here. Please don't misunderstand. By your presence, I don't get any help. But God put it in my heart almost last year, and he knew the truth about this word, and he told me very specifically, there are some people in the city of Colombo who need to hear this truth before I finish everything. That's the message that God brought to me. We were in our home, we were very happy, we were fellowshipping about 10-12 people, we were ministering to them and we were sharing the word. And I was going to all these other churches in Tandy, Martale, Trinco, all these other places, sharing the message. But then God very clearly spoke to me and said, there's a group of people in the city of Colombo who would be like those messages that came to Elijah. There are 7,000 people who are not bowed down to the Baal. So there are people in this city of Colombo who need to be given this message before he concludes and ready for his coming. And with that purpose, we started this ministry. And I shared this with Christian. I shared it with Brother Ravi. And we started this ministry. It is not for us to do something and start another organization, but to bring forth the truth before the curtain comes down. We know curtain is going to come down shortly. And before that, we need to make some people here, making them to make the decision for the word, for the truth, receive it. Your decision will determine your destiny, not all of our destiny. So what happens was, Martin Luther made that decision. He had the courage of his conviction. And by his decision, what happened? There was a major collapse in the so-called strong Roman Catholic Church. As it happens, it heralded the fall of many aspects. There was a wound, it says in the book of Revelation. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to deadly. And of course the deadly wound was healed. Because he's healed today, he is a very powerful position. Even when George Bush goes there, a couple of days ago, he was like a lamb before him. He says he only listened to him, did not tell anything. That's what the Bible paper says. He was only listener in the presence of the Pope. So powerful leaders go there, and his power he will assume shortly in a bigger fold. We mentioned here about the four Greek beast, leopard, bear, lion and dragon. These four beasts mentioned in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 3 to 8. Now this talks about the four great empires had the same spirit. These great empires had the same spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of falsehood, the spirit of fallacy, which started at that time. four great beasts came up from the sea. Remember, sea refers to the people. This change differs to another. The first was like a lion and had an eagle's wing. And well, still his wings were plucked and was lifted up from the earth and made to stand the feet as a man, and man's heart was given to him. Now this is the famous Babylonian Empire. This describes, if you look at this, describes the entire, this verse describes the power and the nature of the first great empire, the Babylonian Empire, which ruled the whole world with great authority, with great power. And you remember, it is during this Babylonian Empire the false religion began and to blossom into dominate people into a great measure. And then it says here, the second, next verse, behold, another beast, a second, like unto a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth, in between the teeth, and they said unto, arise and devour much flesh. The second empire, a Medo-Persian empire, they were like a bear, the nature of a bear. And it says in their mouth, ribs, and there is much destruction and domination took place. It is the same spirit. It is the same false dominating spirit that come from Babylonian even to Medo-Persian age empire. And the third, and after this I beheld another like unto a leopard, which had a back for it, four wings and of a fowl. The beast had four heads. The beast also had four heads of dominion was given unto him. Then comes the third empire, great empire, that was the Grecian Empire. The Grecian Empire was a reflection of a leopard, but it had the same dominating false spirit which dominated the people. Any empire had an emperor. When you have an emperor, emperor was like a deity which has all power. Remember, all power. He holds all power, all authority. Everybody is like a slave. Everybody have no voice. In every empire it is like that. Even in the Chinese Empire, when I had the opportunity 2 years ago to go to China on a bank work, I visited this forbidden city, which is the palace of the emperor. Amazing. Amazing things, because all these great things that they can place in China, it is done for the benefit of the emperor. He was the absolute authority, absolute power. So was it in this empire time. It was in a greater form. Then, the fourth beast. And after this I saw in the night visions, behold the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. That's what it says. And a strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and break in pieces, stamp residue with feet, and diverse of all beasts of that four before it. Worse than all the three beasts before. It had 10 horns. This refers to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was the biggest empire in this whole world. There were no empire that cannot be compared. No cannot be compared. Even the British Empire cannot be compared with the Roman Empire. It was a great empire. And it was a power of the Caesars. The Caesars was considered the deities or most powerful. They did what they should. So it is the same spirit that goes through even these four all empires. And then it comes to, it is this empire, this great Roman Empire, finally, in the age of the third age. The third age, beginning of third age, this great Roman Empire became a holy Roman Empire. When the Roman Empire politically collapsed, and disintegrated, then the political power was translated or transferred to the Pope, who in place of the emperor. Incidentally, the Roman Senate had 91 senators. The Pope inner cardinals number is 91, representing the power of the Senate. And if you look at the structure, the powers that the Senate had, the same powers identically translated into the cardinals who rules with Pope. This Revelation 7:8 says, I consider the horns. Behold, there came up another little horn. Remember, little horn, there were three of the first plucked by the roots. And behold, the horn was for a mouth and the eyes of a man speaking great things. It talks about, even Daniel says, there was a horn that came. That means horns means the power. You know, when Bible speaks about horn, it is the power and authority. And he says, there was a horn, your mouth, and has eyes of a man, speaking great things. Who speak great things? The man who is in the place as the vicar of the Son of God, so-called Pope. You remember this scripture in the book of Joel, that which is palm of worm has left, the locusts have eaten. That which is locusts have left, the cankerworm has eaten. That which is the cankerworm has left, the caterpillar has eaten. We have the four churches, four empires, which brought so much of falsehood, corruption, over and over again to the people of the world. And then we have the Holy Roman Empire, which has totally taken away the truth of God. That's what he says, what the palm of worm. He refers to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. That which is the palm of worm has left, the locusts have eaten, nothing is now left. All, but if you look at this insect, the palm of worm, the locust, the cankerworm, caterpillar, all one beast, one insect, churn the forms. So one and same insect. It changed the forms. Palm of worm become a locust, and it become a cankerworm and a caterpillar. The same. So it is the same beast that has done the damage to even to the church. But in this verse says, Joel 2:25, but I will restore you to the ears that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palm of worm, a great army I sent among you. The promise is in the book of Joel that he will restore. And this is in the fifth age, in the restoration that began by this man, the Martin Luther. So the period was 1522-1750. The city was Sardis. Let's begin to understand about this man, this great Martin Luther. He was much more known than the other previous messengers which I explained to you in the previous studies. Martin Luther to this age is the best known messenger to all ages, because the history identify him to be the one who spearheaded the great spiritual reformation of the true and genuine church. Church that had been over completely. False doctrine of Nicolaitans, Balaam, doctrines of Nicolaitans, Balaam, and woman Jezebel. Church was under these three false doctrines, the Nicolaitans, Balaamism, and the Jezebelism. The church was under that. And here comes Martin. He was also a Roman Catholic priest. Luther was a brilliant scholar. He was studying to be a lawyer when he entered the Augustinian convent in Erfurt in 1505 AD. Where he studied philosophy and also the Word of God. Word of God, what was available from the Catholic Church. He lived a life of a severe penance, but all outward acts could not banish his sense of sin and alienation from God. But he is a genuine man who wants, you know, even in the Catholic Church, there are some good people. Like there are good Buddhists, there are good Hindus, good Muslims. There are good people are there. But that doesn't mean that they are saved, they are redeemed. But there are some good people. They are by nature, they are good, kind people. In all religions you have that good people. But don't be mistaken, but they are not saved. They are neither redeemed. To be redeemed, you have to be born of God. You can be a good person, but you have to be born of God because you have the sinful nature. But he was a good man like that, in the Catholic Church. Yet, what bothered him was the sin that was coming to him over and over again. In one occasion it is written in the various writings. He said, he refers and says, he himself says, I tormented myself to death to make peace with God. But I was in darkness and found none. He was all the time want to contact God and make peace with God, but he could not. Like millions before him, he made a pilgrimage to Rome. You see, he was in Germany. He was now the priest in charge of this church in Wittenberg. I will show that church shortly in a little while. And he was, most of the Roman Catholics, their greatest thing was to go to Rome in a pilgrimage to Vatican. But God gave me that opportunity, not as a pilgrimage, just to see what it is. A city which sits on the seven hills. Incidentally, it's a very dark place inside, wherever you go. I don't know for whatever reasons. Like millions before him, he made a pilgrimage to Rome, fulfilling a vow he made himself. Behold, in the city which sits on the seven hills, he prostrated upon the earth, exclaiming, Holy Rome, I salute thee. But he discovered the city was anything but certainly not holy. When he went there, I've seen thousands and hundreds of pilgrims. I was passing them and I think I felt very sorry for some of those people. They are genuinely have a genuine pilgrimage. They are doing all kinds of things. And I know Catholic priests, they are conducting masses inside the cathedral, different sections, they conduct masses. The women, the old men, they are very piously, unbelievable. I feel very sorry for them, because without knowing they are, following this. It's an absolute sorry sight to see. Well, when you know the truth, when you know these people are totally blindly following this, without knowing it, they are genuine sometimes, but they are blind. So when Martin Luther went and saw this great monument, and he exclaimed and says, Holy Rome! But it was nothing but not holy. Luther was filled with astonishment and horror at iniquity which existed in all class of clergy in Rome. There are a lot of historical evidence of the corruption to the extent of adultery that took place in Rome, in Vatican, between convents, between seminaries. There is so much of evidence. It's not time to tell those things. He was surprised. He witnessed the corruption on a scale that he had never witnessed before, because he was a pious man. In place of sanity, he found only profanity. Later subsequently he wrote this, what sins and infamous actions are committed by Rome. He wrote, they must be seen and heard and to be believed, that they are in the habit of saying, if there is a hell. Now he says, not anybody else, Martin says. He says, if there is a hell, Rome is built over it. It is abyss with issues of every kind of sin. Martin says, after he came out of it, if there was a hell, and that hell is built over Rome. Martin Luther was sincere and determined to perform all religious duties, customary for a pious visitor. He was very religious, like all those religious people in thousands going to Vatican. In one of those duties was to avail an indulgence offered by Pope. There was a commandment to the highest level order of priests, by the Pope, all who ascend upon the nearest pilot staircase. There's a staircase in Vatican. I didn't see this. It is restricted to the priest. It's called pilot staircase. It has something to do with the Lord Jesus Christ also. You know, I know how they got this. He says this is the other Lord Jesus, some connection is there. That is called Pilate's staircase. So what happens is, penance is you have to climb the staircase on your knees. Not on your, like, on your knees. To climb up and down. Up and down. Climb up and down, that is a penance that you Pope has ordained for the priest. So Luther was doing that. He was on his knees climbing up. Imagine, I can't even, you know, some of us can't climb even the normal staircase, you know, many times. Imagine Luther probably would have been in his 30s, I don't know. But he was doing it on his knees. I can't even walk on the knees for some long time. But here, on his knees, he was climbing up and down as a penance. And one day Luther found himself on his knees with the hundreds of pious visitors devoutly climbing step by step. Maybe worse than climbing Siripade. While climbing and meditating on the things of God, while he was doing, a voice thundered suddenly, echoed in his soul the words. These words echoed while he was doing that. He was meditating upon God. Of course, he is a genuine man. Like so many genuine, those Catholics who go there, he was also genuine. So he was on his knees. Sometimes a lot of people like to inflict pain, or you think about when you do pain, you inflict, you know, think about. So he was thinking about God. And he was climbing on his knees to this staircase, up and down. And suddenly a thunder echoed in his soul. The words of Romans 1:17, just shall live by faith. Remember what was lost? Justification. This was lost. What was bought in? Faith in the Roman Catholic Church. But here, God revealed to Martin the glorious truth. Just shall live by faith. That is true, not only for Martin, everyone thereafter. This is the truth God brought. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that there is redemption is possible, not by becoming a member of a church or an organization. The spiritual lightning of God illuminated his soul, showing him the futility of the church-imposed ritual, dogma and work that could bring salvation. So the church inflicted, church ordained rituals, dogmas and works. And he found this is a fallacy. And God began to illuminate him further and further. The word of God struck home to his heart. It was finally quick and made alive, living reality to his soul. He sprang to his feet and rushed back down to the staircase. He got up from his knees when the Lord enlightened. Brothers and sisters, whenever God speaks to you, whenever God talks to you, when the scripture is open to you, please take a decision. Like Martin, he never thought, can't be from God. Can't be from somebody. But if God speaks to you, be quick to take the decision. It is very important. If God ever speaks to you the truth and tell you to come out from organizations, have nothing to do with it, don't go and have any fellowship whatsoever. And if God ever speaks to you, make a decision like this man. He got up and he rushed down the staircase, turning his back on all deception of Roman Catholic Church. His eyes were open and were never to be closed again, the delusion of papacy. His eyes were enlightened and open. From that time, the separation grew wider until he severed all connection with papal church. This is exactly the treasure that man found. He found the truth. He found the treasure. He hid it for some time. And then, what did he do? He had to do something. He clearly saw the fallacy of trusting in human works and the religious rituals of salvation. Now he saw only absolute necessity of constant faith in the merits of Jesus Christ. He knew it is not the faith in an organization or a church, but in the glorious sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the redemption plan of God, and the way that God has ordained and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, nothing else. And on his return trip from Rome, now this happened in Rome, the evangelical truth, the Roman 1:17, just shall live by it, flooded his mind, and he was set free from sin and born into kingdom of God. This man, Martin Luther, when he came back, when he was more and more pondering on him, on the word of God, and then he had the absolute new experience of a born of God, born into the kingdom of God. When God enlightened his truth, just shall live by faith. Faith is not in anything else but the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. With the determination to devote his whole life to the study and faithfully expound and defend the Holy Scriptures, Luther was no longer a monk. He was now a messenger to the age, Sardis age. The torch in his soul was lighted with an eternal fire from God Almighty. It was only a matter of time, and the revealed word of God, God's message soon came on to open conflict with abuse of the church creeds and doctrines. Thus when Pope Leo X became Pope, John Tassel came to sell indulgence of sin. Luther had no choice but to rise up against this antique scriptural teaching. Germany was a powerful nation which belonged to the Roman Empire, Roman Catholic Church. First he thundered from the pulpit. From the pulpit of the church in Wittenberg, he thundered against all these things. Then he wrote his famous 95 Theses, which on October 31, 1317 AD, he nailed it to the door of the castle church Wittenberg, setting entire Germany. Now remember, Germany was a Roman Catholic nation. And when he began to preach, and when he found all these things, 95 wrong things in the Catholic Church, he wrote them personally, and he nailed them too. This is the door of the actual door of the castle church, but this person is not the Martin Luther. This is the door of the castle church. He wrote like this. All these things he wrote one by one. The entire door was pasted with all these things. So what did he do? The man in the parable, he found the treasure and he heard it for a joy for a while, but then he sold everything he had. You take it and throw it away, everything. You have it and enjoy. He gave it to Pope and all of his plan, church. I have nothing to do with it. Sold it. Came out. Now he is no longer a Catholic monk. That's the beginning of Reformation. Lutheran church was born thereafter, after Luther's death. That was not the will of God, of course. This is the church, the Castle Church of Wittenberg in Germany, where Luther was the peace priest or the parish priest or the priest in charge of this church. And this is in this church, this was the door. To this door he put all those false teachings. He found 95 or such. I'll tell you, we have thousands of them now. At that time Luther was able to find 95 men, and he nailed them to that church, and that resulted in massive demonstration of God's plan in this place. So remember, now God is restoring one by one. Luther himself was sensitive, spirit-filled Christian. Now he was definitely a man of the word, for he not only had profound passion to study but to make it available to all, in order that all might live it. One thing he began to do was, he began to translate the New Testament and give it to people. He gathered around him a group of Hebrew scholars, among whom were Jews, and translated the Old Testament. Now this was, the two was not available in Germany. And then he began to do it and began to spread. And with this he began to preach this, just shall live by faith. justification which was lost in the fourth church age when the woman took it and leavened it. When he leavened it and puffed it up, when it was lost to the church, it was taken back. Now it is beginning to restore that truth. His translation of scriptures enabled the common man to read it. He was a mighty preacher and a teacher of the word. He insisted, especially his first years of public ministry, that word of God was the sole criteria. Like Paul, like rest of the messengers, nothing. This is the sole criteria. The revealed word, the truth, nothing else. Don't go by any other things, but by the truth or the word. And also, he was a man given to much prayer, and had learned that more work he had to do, more time of prayer needed. I will also encourage all of you, there is need to pray. Not to pray for all bread and butter and various clothes you want. No. Pray. The power of God would come upon you. The anointing God would come upon you. That more and more of truth would come upon you. Pray that your life will match the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spend more time in intercession. Intercessory prayer is not praying for my father, my daughter, my sister, all this, not those kind of things. But pray in communion with God, understanding the mind of God, to pray for the things that God desires for you to pray. Pray that things can change. More of his time he gave to God in prayer in order to ensure more success and results. And I think this is what lacks in many of us today. We lack time for prayer in prayer. We rush. We rush very often when it comes to prayer. It is just a rushing time. I'm telling you, your personal, individual, intercessionary prayer. I think you need to spend at least a couple of hours before the Lord every day. And if you're not fulfilling that, brothers and sisters, you're opening gates of hell to give a lot of disturbance to you. But if you are a man of prayer, if you are a man of intercession, like Luther, the truth of God would be more enlightened, and you have that anointing, you have the power of God, and you will be more able to do greater things in every situation we are in. With this I will close tonight, because we have few more things to go in Martin Luther's life. And as we begin to understand, there are more of things of his life and his character we will understand in the next coming Sunday, when we share the word. And also we go into the condition of the fifth church age. But I want to tell you, fifth church age starts with where God is restoring the treasures. Hidden treasures are now being restored. And it is word that is being restored. Nothing else, word. And I think we must be thankful to God that you are enabled to hear the truth. Truth that has been restored to the genuine true bride of Christ. And I believe God is looking for men who can understand the revelation of the word of God. Men who can spend time in the presence of God, in understanding the mind of God, who in time of prayer and in communication with God, and also understanding the true word of God. And when God speaks to you through his word, when God reveals to you, you must have the courage, by the courage of your convictions, take a decision, not for anybody else, but for God. And if you take a decision, there's prosperity waiting for you. And I think sometimes decisions cannot be made because we are looking at the material things. We are looking at the situation we are in. And like that pastor in down south, who reverted back his decision, and now he is no longer in the God's favor. The same way I urge you, that God speaks to you, make that decision. Don't delay that decision. Tonight you have to make that decision. To move away from the fallacy. Move away from the false system. Move away from all the false truths. False things. I want to show you something in closing. I think I showed you some time ago about this aspect. I said some of you are on this the teachings of the false church, I think false church ages, I want to show you something which now all of you who are in the various denominations who believe in the Trinity. Now here in Hinduism there is a Trinity, it's called Hindu Trinity. It's called Brahma, the creator, the Vishnu preservator, the Shiva, the destructor. So the doctrine of Trinity is a new Christian doctrine. Is a way very much older, which coming from Babylonian time, and even this in Hinduism, it is there. There's a Hindu Trinity. This I got from a Hindu website. It's called Hindu Universe. It's called Hindu Trinity. So you have Hindu Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. So all these Christian organizations who worship God in form of Trinity is falsehood. So if you are part of it, you are part of the falsehood. So therefore that's very important that you move away from that. Ask the right to take.